We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, welcome to Thursday. It's 8:33, and joining me here in Studio B is Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Well, Debbie, welcome back. Great to see you.
Thank you. And Brad Young, partner with the law firm of Harris Dowell Fisher and Young.
Great to be here, Debbie. Good to see you.
You too. All right, let's start it off here on a cloudy Thursday with a possible legal question. So we'll start with you here, Brad. AMI, American Media, Inc., which is the parent company of the National Enquirer, announced that they will cooperate now with the Justice Department in exchange for a promise not to be prosecuted for their role in buying and then burying stories that would have cast Donald Trump in a negative light. They admitted paying $150,000 to a woman in concert with Trump's campaign in order to ensure that the woman did not publicize damaging allegations about Trump before the 2016 presidential election. Is this potential campaign finance violation a big deal?
Well, Debbie, this is one of those situations where it may in fact be a violation, but in years past, it hasn't been treated as a big deal. I mean, for example, in 2008, the Obama campaign was fined $375,000 for campaign violations. There was no criminal prosecutions. So in other words, it has been treated politically like jaywalking in the past. Yes, it's a violation, but it's not that big a deal. You pay a fine, you go on. But this year, obviously, it's taking on greater importance because of the involvement of the Trump campaign.
Well, just for clarification, though, did the Obama campaign have a media outlet buy and bury stories?
No, but what they did...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
But they did commit campaign violations, which is the same violation of the same laws that's being accused here. The facts are a little different, but the violations are very similar in terms of violating campaign finance laws. And there was just a paid fine, and you go on like a speeding ticket. But all of a sudden now, it is a bigger deal, and we need to see how this is going to be dealt with in terms of whether it was going to be dealt with the same way it was previously or whether we're going to now treat that differently.
Well, here's the deal you have to figure out, and do we know that this was done to try to influence the campaign? That's the big question.
Sure, and President Trump's position is it wasn't, particularly
right,
with regard to the payoffs. That still has to be resolved and worked out. But my point is that it's being treated differently than past campaign finance violations. And why is it being treated differently?
And did the Trump campaign have campaign finance violations? I'm trying to remember those.
You mean the Obama campaign?
Trump. Did Trump have any?
Well, we're discussing them now, allegations now, but
well,
the Obama
know, okay.
campaign did, absolutely.
You know, I have no love for Stormy Daniels or Michael Cohen and even Donald Trump. Let's face it, we were talking about him, you know, quite a bit yesterday, and, you know, he's a controversial president. But if he has a one-night stand about 10 years before the campaign and he works in concert with others to bury that story, I'm not sure that's illegal unless it's proven, beyond a reasonable doubt, that they did that to try and affect the 2016 campaign. And it's perfectly legitimate and reasonable to think that he could try and bury that to preserve his marriage so that Melania would not know about it. And I think that's a really good defense that the president could pull and probably will.
And also, you know, there's been rumors for years that there's a congressional slush fund that exists for the same very purpose, the very same purpose, where individuals are being paid to resolve allegations of sexual improprieties against sitting congressmen. That's been going on for years. We just started hearing about this about a year ago.
Right.
So
actually, we've already paid out about, what, $16 million in that over a 12 or 15 year period, something like that.
Exactly. And if the allegation is that the Trump campaign, if this is a campaign violation because it was done because it might influence the campaign, Wasn't the $16 million paid out by a congressman, that slush fund, wasn't that done to protect their campaign efficacy? Of course it was.
Probably so, with non-disclosure agreements.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is the tip of the iceberg, but we haven't dealt with how do we deal with this
and
issue.
And I think if we just, the big issue should be, was there collusion between the Trump campaign and Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin to influence the election? That's what this is all about. But, you know, if we're starting to get into Stormy Daniels, who we know is a liar, because for the longest time she said there was no affair. Then she changed her mind.
Well, that's because she had the non-disclosure agreement and she couldn't say
it. So she's lying. She's lying. No, she wasn't not saying it. She was denying it, right?
Now, and there's a difference.
There is a difference. So, you know, I honestly think, Debbie, that the nation is quibbling over the dumbest stuff. You know, when we do have real issues out there, including, you know, immigration, that's a big issue. And I think whether the Russians were trying to change the election, that's a big issue. But I think this Stormy Daniels thing, which, again, it wasn't during the campaign, it was 10 years before, right?
But the payoff and the buying of the story just in order to spike it so that it didn't make campaign news, that was just before the election.
If it was for the campaign news. But it's legitimate to say that a husband would say, I want to bury that story so my wife doesn't find out about it. There, you know, there's other motivations, too, to bury a story like that.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Oh, I was going to say, let's talk about an issue that should get more attention, but we have to take a break here. We'll get to that in round two of Overtime. It's 8:39.
Well, you ready? Let's go.
This is Overtime.
All right, it's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young of Harris Dowell Fisher & Young and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. So one of the big issues, at least according to Democrats in the midterm elections, was health insurance. And of course, there were a lot of promises in the 2016 election of replacing Obamacare with something better and something cheaper. But so far, that hasn't happened. Health insurance signups for the Affordable Care Act appear to be down with just a few days left to enroll. Premiums apparently are stable. Consumers have more choices now, and millions of uninsured people can still get financial help. Now, barring an enrollment surge, the nation's uninsured rate could edge up again after a years-long coverage expansion that's seen about 20 million people obtaining health insurance. Charlie, why do you think fewer people are enrolling in the Affordable Care Act?
A couple of things. Number one, I think that with the Affordable Care Act, there is a group of Americans who do not want to be forced to buy health insurance. And I think they voted for Donald Trump. You know, I can't say that they're the wisest people, because if you get into a problem, I mean, what's going to happen? You're going to be in trouble. In fact, I did this when I was in my 20s. I was given money from my employer to buy insurance, and I pocketed the money instead. You know, because I'm young, I'm healthy. I don't want to buy into it. And I think people do that. I also think that this administration has cut the number of people who service the new enrollees, and they cut the money to market the program.
90% cut in the marketing budget.
Yeah, so there's that as well. But a lot of people do not want to buy insurance. And, you know, they're going to roll the dice, I guess, or they'll get sick and they'll sign up at the last minute.
Brad?
Yeah, this shows the entire flaw of Obamacare from the get-go, and that is you shouldn't be able or shouldn't be forcing people to buy something they don't want, and we're seeing that a lot of people don't want it. But more importantly, I think what we're seeing here is a classic government strategy, a classic bureaucratic strategy, which is create a crisis so then you can then propose the solution. So what we're seeing here is by eliminating the penalty against having a health insurance and cutting the marketing budget, you're going to be plummeting the number of people who buy it, which is going to create more pressure on Obamacare, which will then create a greater crisis that will allow Trump and the Republicans to come in and say, see, we have a crisis, we have to fix it. It's a classic government strategy, and we're seeing it played out right in front of us.
Well, you know, I'll say this, though. You know, there should be motivations and consequences. If you do not decide to buy health insurance. That's fine. Okay, you're the libertarian. You're going to be a cowboy. You're going to go out on your own. If you get sick, I don't think you should be able to go to the hospital and expect the hospital to cover your costs.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's the case. I mean, if you want to take the risk of not having health insurance, you have to be responsible for the consequences. Absolutely.
But the problem is now, I mean, and you know, in our hearts, we think this is a great rule that hospitals have to stabilize you if you show up, whether or not you have health insurance. They have to take care of you. And that sounds so nice. And yet, maybe a rule like that dissuades people from buying health insurance because they know at the end of the day, if they get in an accident and they end up at the hospital and they don't have insurance, there is going to be a doctor and a team of nurses and others who will take care of them.
Yes.
Well, hospitals also don't want a pile of bodies at the door either. That wouldn't be a very good look, would it? All right, let's talk about a pile up at a CVS. This is an interesting case. As we know, we have a huge pain pill problem in this country, and it's like gold, oxycodone. So a man went into the CVS and threatened to steal oxycodone. So the pharmacist and this guy, Zach Phillips, tackled the suspect to the floor. And this pharmacist and the CVS employee are now being fired because CVS says they violated the store policy by initiating a physical confrontation. Phillips claims he was just acting in self-defense after seeing the suspect pushing the pharmacist. Brad Young, should they be fired?
Well, first of all, context here. I've drafted policies for companies that say that you're not allowed to participate in an altercation, even if you're being robbed. So I've drafted those policies. So I understand the purpose of them is to prevent the company from getting sued if an employee gets in an altercation with someone that they think is robbing the store, but in reality they may not be. There's an altercation, the store could get sued. So I understand the policy. But the result or the consequence of violation of that policy doesn't have to be termination. And that's what I see as the problem here. I mean, they could enforce their policy by telling the pharmacist, you're going to have 2 days of non-pay, stay at home, sleep in like Debbie Monterey's been doing all week. You know, you can do that. And they would still be enforcing the policy. It doesn't require termination. That's the part that, to me, is a problem because you are firing a person for protecting themselves, and that's just wrong.
I was kind of in a situation similar, not exactly like this, in the 1970s. I was a stock boy at Oliger Drug at 270 in Lorain in Fairview Park, Ohio, and an unsavory-looking character came in with a questionable prescription for some drugs that the chief pharmacist, Jim Oliger, didn't think that was legitimate. And so I was the stock boy. He didn't say tackle the guy. He said, go get this guy's license plate. So after the guy dropped off the prescription, actually got it filled, as I understand it, I had to follow the guy to the parking lot and write down the license plate. I don't know what good that did, but I wasn't asked to tackle, you know.
So, well, that's good.
We're all good. We're all glad about that.
Were you ready, though? Were you ready to do it?
I was not ready. I was just ready to stock the shelves and pick up a paycheck.
All right. Well, speaking of sleeping, Brad mentioned sleeping in. As we know, it's hard sometimes for teenagers to get out of bed, especially, you know, there are high schools around here that start at 7 o'clock in the morning, which is early. 2 years ago, a Seattle school district changed its start time from 7:50 to 8:45. So then scientists monitored almost 200 teenagers who wore activity monitors to find out whether a later start time to the school day would help them get more sleep. And it did, adding about 34 extra minutes of slumber a night. They also reported less daytime sleepiness and improved grades. Charlie, would you like to see a later start time for high schoolers here?
You know, it's a good question. What you always end up doing, though, is pushing all the other activities back, and that brings up all sorts of issues as well. You know, if the games and the practices don't start at 3:30 or 4, they're starting at 4:30 or 5. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen here. We've been talking about this for quite some time. I remember we had Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren on the program, probably, Debbie, around 1998, 1999, talking about this same thing. The research is pretty clear and that the kids live on a different circadian cycle or whatever it is, and they, at that age, this is true for all humans, have trouble getting up that early. And I know there are listeners in our audience who milk the cows at 4 a.m. and they did that when they were 15. But I can't say it helped their academic progress. I bet it didn't.
Well, to me, it seems like this is a discipline issue. I mean, I've got a high school daughter, and I tease her because she goes to bed before her grandmother does, because she has to get up and catch the bus at 6:45. But she's able to do that. So it seems to me like by allowing a later start time, really all you're saying is that we can't get our kids to bed early enough. Because they could get up if they got to bed early enough. But, you know, when you're spending 8 hours a day on Snapchat and Instagram, it's kind of hard to find time for sleep. And really, to me, this is a discipline issue.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we'll talk more about the box office and how long could you live without your phone. It's 8:50.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
It is 8:52. Who is this? Is this The Cure? Huh. The Cure going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is a good class, man. The 80s are representing. All right, I digress.
In? Who got in?
Oh, let's see. The Cure, Radiohead,
Def Leppard,
Stevie Nicks, Roxy Music. Oh, and the Zombies from the 60s.
Although, Todd Rundgren did not get in, huh? I got a tweet last night, and someone said, we hope he gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tonight. So I guess he didn't get in.
We need a recount.
Well, you know, just for his sound engineering and producing, you would think that he would, but I guess not. He's going to be with us either next week or early January.
All right, so well, you can ask him directly how much it affects his life. I think part of this is a public vote, right? That's what got Def Leppard in, okay, says producer Chris Myhill. All right, I don't know if you've been to the movies lately, but I think this is great news because for years, women in Hollywood have complained about the lack of leading roles, women directors, etc., and a study organized by Time's Up, which is the group formed to promote gender equality in films, has found that female-led films consistently outperform male-led movies at the box office. The study analyzed the 350 top-grossing films worldwide released between January 2014 and December 2017, and researchers found that in films with small, medium, and large budgets, all averaged better global grosses when a woman was listed as the lead star. Are you surprised, Charlie Brennan?
A little bit, but if that's the case, you think that the money in Hollywood would figure it out and start producing a lot of movies with female leads. Seems like a pretty simple market solution to that one.
Well, I think they are now. And now women are pushing back that they should get as much money as the male leads. Brad?
Well, this is surprising. I'd really want to see the data on that because, I mean, for example, my wife and I just went to see the movie Widows, which is led by Viola Davis. Fantastic movie. Nobody was there. I looked it up on Box Office Mojo. It's not making any money. And yet it was a fantastic movie. And so I would really want to see the data on that because anecdotally, that I'm not sure that's accurate, at least from my experience.
All right, well, you could maybe look it up on your phone unless you give up your phone. I don't know if I could do this, but vitamin water is, I don't know if you've ever drank vitamin water, but they're willing to pay one lucky person $100,000 if that person can make it an entire year without their smartphone. Whoever is selected for the competition gets a call-only phone and can still use a laptop or a desktop. However, using someone else's smartphone is a no-no. And I was wondering how they could verify this, but apparently a lie detector test will be administered. Brad, could you go a year without your smartphone?
I would give up my liver first before I would do that.
Oh, Charlie?
$8,000 a month to get rid of this thing, which I don't like anyway? Absolutely. I would do that.
I don't think your boss would let you, though.
Why not? What do I need it for?
I don't know. We have to be connected all the time.
No. No, I don't think so. You know, how many years did I live without this thing? $100,000? Are you kidding me?
Would you give it up without for less than $100,000?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I might give it up for free. You know, it's great for directions and it answers questions easily. Fine. Does it make me happier? I don't think so. Does it make me smarter? I don't think so. Is it a cost to me? $250 a month for our family plan, something like that. Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I would definitely take $100,000. And There are some people who don't have these. I know Bob Costas just recently got his. He seemed to live a pretty successful life for about 60 or so years without a smartphone.
Yeah, but Bob Costas has people.
Exactly.
He has people.
You beat
just
me
for
to
the
it.
Calendar alone on yeah. my phone, I could not live without it. I could not organize
what do you
my
mean?
Life.
Yeah. You've got to, you could get a daily planner from Office Depot.
Yeah, well,
Einstein
now it's connected
didn't have
with my
one.
Whole family, so everybody has the calendar.
Honestly, Debbie, I think that people are getting fewer things done with these because our heads are in these. And I'm not saying you or anybody else. I'm talking about me. When your head is in these iPhones all the time, you're less involved in the real world.
No, that is very true. And it does bother me that people don't people watch anymore. Anywhere you go and people are sitting around, their faces are all in their phones. Nobody's looking up.
It's all true.
Nobody's looking around. No one's paying any attention. By the way, just a holiday tip. I was talking to somebody from the St. Louis Police Department, and they said when you're walking around, especially in the parking lot, you got packages in your hand, get your face out of your phone
yep.
because that's who the criminals are going to target mm. to take your car or your packages mm-hmm. or your phone. You know, you got this $700 computer in your hand.
Are they stealing these things?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But if they have a lock on them, I mean, a passcode.
They can just reprogram it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And mm. then just sell it.
Well, they
so,
can have mine.
Get your face out of your phone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.